the declaration of commitment. The declaration of commitment. Curtis Ringgold tells the story of a small city, and outside that small city on a hillside was a huge white cross. He says that on a day there was a little boy who wandered away from home, wandered away from the familiarity of his own neighborhood, and became confused and was unable to find his way home. A kind policeman came along and offered to assist this young boy in finding his way home. The policeman said, "Son, where do you live?" And the boy was so young he didn't even know his address. He could not tell the policeman his address. But he did say this to the policeman. He said, "Take me to the cross on the hillside. I can find my way home from there." How true. If we'll find the cross of Christ and the Christ of the cross and come to Him in simple repentance and faith and receive Him, we can find our way home. We can find our way home to the Father and find our way home to heaven. The way of the cross still leads home. This is the seventh sermon in a series of seven sermons taken from the seven sayings of the Savior spoken on the cross. The message today, Luke 23:46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The seventh saying spoken from the cross. Seven, the number of perfection, reminding us that Jesus is perfect in every way. Now, prior to Jesus speaking this seventh saying, he spoke six other times. First of all, Jesus spoke to God in behalf of others when he said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Secondly, Jesus spoke to a repentant thief who turned to him and said, "Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And to that repentant thief, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Third, Jesus spoke to his mother, and he spoke to John, the beloved disciple, when he said to his mother about John, "Here is your son." And to John about his mother, committing her care to him, "Here is your mother." He spoke forth when he cried out to God. That mysterious saying, that saying beyond the ability of finite minds to comprehend, when Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Fifthly, he spoke to the crowd of spectators gathered around the cross. Roman soldiers, Jewish religious leaders, members of the mob, when he said, "I am thirsty." Then six, he spoke to heaven and earth and hell itself when he cried out that triumphant cry of victory, "It is finished." Six times Jesus spoke from the cross, and now this seventh saying of the Savior from the cross, this final saying of the Savior from the cross, Luke records it this way, that Jesus called out with a loud voice, saying, "Father," he called him Father, "into your hands I commit my spirit." Seven is a number for rest. Our Lord, in 6 days, created the heavens and the earth. And after 6 days, he saw that everything he had created was good. And the scripture says that on the seventh day, God rested from his work of creating. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke from the cross seven times. And this seventh saying spoken by Jesus from the cross is a word of rest. in that sixth saying, he had cried, "It is finished," declaring that the sin debt had been paid in full, that there was nothing else that could be done or needed to be done for guilty sinners to be reconciled to a holy God. The price had been paid. It was complete. It was accomplished. And then this seventh word, this word of rest, when he says, "Father, I place my hands, I place my spirit into your hands." Marvelous, marvelous saying by the Lord Jesus. It is a declaration of commitment in which the Son of God commits His Spirit into the hands of God the Father. Now this morning, as we think about this declaration of commitment, as we think about this seventh saying spoken by Jesus on the cross, I want you to see with me three glorious truths. Truths to enlighten us and truths to encourage us in our walk with our Savior. The first truth we see here is the death of Jesus was voluntary. I want you to see with me that Jesus' death was voluntary. Look again in verse 46. Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus was offering up His Spirit to the Father. He was yielding His Spirit of His own volition back into the hands of the Father. Jesus' life was not taken from Him. Jesus did not die the death of a martyr. A martyr's death is when someone is taken to execution against his will. Jesus did not go to the cross against His will. Jesus did not dismiss His Spirit into the Father's hands against His will. Of His own volition, Jesus committed His Spirit to the Father. Now that should not surprise us, because Jesus, in His earthly life and ministry, had said that He would do that very thing. Look in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Jesus said, "The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life." And we see it right there in verse 17. That's a reference to His crucifixion and the fact that He went willingly as a sheep before the slaughter, only to take it up again. That's a prophecy of His resurrection. Verse 18, "No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again." And so before Jesus ever went to the cross, He announced for those who had ears to hear that He would lay His life down of His own volition and take it up again on the third day. So when we read in Luke 23, verse 46, that Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," Jesus is not dying against His will. Jesus is dismissing His Spirit. The word translated, "into your hands I commit my spirit," that word "commit my spirit" or "yield my spirit," I think is maybe Matthew has it in his gospel, is a term which was quite common in the first century world. It's a term used among military people. Whenever there was an officer in the military and some subordinate, some lower officer or some enlisted person would come into his presence, and that particular military officer was finished with his business with this particular person who was under his authority, he would say, "Dismissed." And that lower ranking military person would be dismissed from his presence. Now that's the same word that Jesus uses when He says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He's saying, "Father, into your hands I dismiss my spirit." Jesus dismissed His spirit. It was not taken from Him against His will. The fact of the matter is that crucifixion was a very agonizing way to engage in capital punishment. And it was quite common for persons who were being executed in the first century world by crucifixion to survive for 2 or 3 days on the cross and just suffer endless agony for 2 or 3 days. But Jesus was on the cross only 6 hours. And then he died. Now, the reason that people who were being crucified would live so long is that there was a little platform where their feet would be, and they would push up to breathe. And it was an excruciatingly painful thing to push up with those spikes in your feet to breathe, but by pushing up to breathe, they could live longer. And then eventually they would become so weak they couldn't push up, and so the way you would die by crucifixion was basically you would die by suffocation. You just couldn't breathe. So we read in the Gospels that sometimes the soldiers would come and they would break their legs. And when someone was being crucified, when the legs were broken, then they couldn't push up. And when you couldn't push up, then you couldn't breathe, and then death came in a matter of minutes. And you'll recall it says in the Gospel, when they came to break the legs of Jesus, they were surprised that Jesus was already dead. He was dead physically because he had dismissed his spirit. The death of Jesus was voluntary. Jesus didn't die as a martyr. Jesus died as a king. And he dismissed his spirit. He said, "Father, I just dismiss myself into your hands." Augustine put it this way, speaking of Jesus. He gave up his life because he willed it, when he willed it, and as he willed it. Let us not ever say that the death of Jesus was a martyr's death, or that the death of Jesus was against his own volition. Not at all. The death of Jesus was a voluntary death. Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit, I yield, I dismiss my spirit." What a glorious truth that is. There is a second glorious truth I want you to see with me in this passage. The second glorious truth is this. Jesus' death restored communion with God the Father. By dismissing his spirit, Jesus restored communion with God the Father. That communion was broken on the cross. But Jesus had been in intimate communion with God the Father from eternity past. Go as far back into eternity past as you can go, and there you'll find God the Father and God the Son in intimate, perfect fellowship and communion. And then in the fullness of time, the Scripture says that God sent forth His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, who came and was reared by Joseph and Mary in the little town of Nazareth. And even when Jesus was a child, we find that Jesus had communion with the Father. He called God the Father. When he was 12 years of age, they went down to Jerusalem for Jesus to go to that Passover celebration for the first time. And Joseph and Mary, they went back and they forgot about Jesus and they missed Jesus. And when they came back, they found him in the temple. And what did Jesus say then? He said, "Didn't you know I needed to be about my Father's business?" He lived even as a child in communion with the Father. When Jesus began his public ministry in that great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, recorded for us in Matthew chapters 5 and 6 and 7, 17 times Jesus referred to the Father. When Jesus gave that upper room discourse, recorded for us in John 13, 14, 15, and 16, we find that he referred to the Father 45 times. Jesus often prayed to the Father. He would get up early before the sun came up to be alone with the Father. He would spend entire nights in prayer alone with the Father. Jesus referred to God as the Father, "My Father, the Father in heaven." And so from eternity past through the days of his incarnation as a child and then as an adult, unto the cross, Jesus had lived in perfect communion with the Father. And he hung on that cross for 6 hours. From about 9 a.m. to 12 noon, he suffered at the hands of cruel men and Satan. And then at high noon, the Scripture says, a darkness came across the earth, such as the world had never known. And from noon until 3 p.m., there was this deep darkness, the darkest, blackest darkness this world has ever experienced. And during those 3 hours, Jesus experienced the wrath of a holy God against sin. That's why Jesus cried out at the conclusion of those 3 hours of darkness, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is beyond the ability of our minds to comprehend how that could be. How God the Father, who is one with God the Son and God the Spirit, for those 3 hours could look away from the Son of God. But it happened just that way. Great mystery, great mystery. That God the Son, the sinless one, the Prince of Glory, would bear in His own body for those 3 hours the wrath of God against sin, the justice of God against all the wickedness of the human race, from that first sinner Adam to the very last sinner who would ever be born into this world. All the sin of all times, of all generations, and of all ages placed on the sinless Son of God, and the Father had to look away, and communion was broken that day. But here, communion is restored. Jesus said that day, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Fellowship restored. The separation, no more. Look back in Luke 23. Look in verse 43. Luke 23, 43. On that cross, there were two who were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. They were guilty of insurrection. They were thieves. And one said to Jesus, he came to his senses and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, look in verse 43, Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus walked arm in arm that day through the portals of heaven with a redeemed sinner. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Now think about it. What is Jesus saying here? He said to the repentant thief, today you're going to be with me, where? Paradise. When Jesus dismissed his spirit, where did his spirit go? Paradise. Somebody tells you otherwise, just point them to the Bible. Now, the body was taken down through the kindness of two members of the Sanhedrin, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They asked permission for the body of Jesus, and they placed it in a tomb that was owned by Joseph. The body was placed in a tomb to be resurrected on the third day. But the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit that Jesus dismissed into the Father's hand, the Spirit in paradise with God the Father. Today in paradise. And so Jesus went home that day to the Father. Communion restored. Fellowship recovered. And so we learn from this seventh saying of the Savior from the cross that by His death, by His dismissing His Spirit into the Father's hands, that communion with God the Father was restored. There is a third glorious truth I want you to see with me as we think about this seventh saying. And it is this. Jesus' death shows us that we do not need to fear death. By His death And by this Sabbath saying, Jesus shows to us that we do not need to fear death. Why? Well, because when we die in the Lord, like Jesus, we go to be with the Father. That's why. Jesus was going home. His body would be buried in the earth to be raised on the third day, but he had dismissed his spirit into the Father's hands. Now, there's nothing to fear when you're going into the Father's hands. When you go into the Father's household, we have no reason to fear. Death is the king of terrors to the unsaved. To those who do not know the Lord Jesus, death is most fearful. It is the darkness. It is the unknown. It strikes terror in the heart for a person to slip into eternity without Christ. But for those of us who know the Lord Jesus, there's no reason to fear. Death is no longer an enemy, but death is now a friend. Death is a portal into heaven. Death is the doorway to glory. Death is the means by which we are translated from this veil of tears and sorrow and pain and grief into the paradise of God. That's what death is. Jesus' death shows us that we do not need to fear death. The Apostle Paul understood this. And in 1 Corinthians 15, and I invite you to look in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 and 7. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul writes what we call that great resurrection chapter in the Bible. Spelling out for us our resurrection hope. And in these two verses, verses 56 and 57, Paul makes reference to the sting of death. Look in verse 56. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you belong to Jesus, you don't have to be afraid of death. Death is victory for the child of God. It is glorious, glorious triumph for the child of God. Death is fearful for those who do not know Jesus, but for those who know Him, who trust Him, who've received Him, death is our doorway to heaven. Jesus said, Father, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. Dismissing His spirit, going back to the Father. These last words of the Lord Jesus Christ have been prayed in the final moments of life by a multitude of faithful followers of Jesus down through the centuries. Included in the long list of persons who prayed much like Jesus was Thomas Becket, who was martyred in 1170, and John Huss, who was burned at the stake for his faith in 1415. The historical record says of John Huss that as the flames of fire choked out his life, with a merry and cheerful countenance he said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." So also prayed at their death Polycarp, Bernard, Jerome, and John Knox. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said in the last moments of his life, and I quote, "Blessed are they who die not only for the Lord as martyrs, not only in the Lord as believers, but likewise with the Lord, as breathing forth their lives in the words, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." That's the difference that Jesus makes. F.B. Meyer was a great expositor who lived 100 years ago. In his 90th decade of life, he sat down one day to write a letter to a friend, and these are the words that he penned. "I have just heard, to my surprise, that I have only a few days to live. It may be before this reaches you, I shall have entered the palace. Do not trouble yourself to write. We shall meet in the morning with much love. Yours affectionately, F.B. Meyer. This is triumph. This is no counterfeit comfort here, folks. This is victory. This is reunion with the Father. That's what Jesus knew when he cried out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. John Thornton received word that he had only a few days to live before he slipped into eternity. He tells how he sat at his window and he looked out across the way at the river and beyond the river, the mountain range beyond. And he looked at the stars shining in the sky, and then he sat down and he penned these words, and I quote, I'm going to leave, but river, I'll be alive when every drop in you has dried up. Mountains, I'll be alive when you have disappeared. Stars, I'll be around when your light has burned out, for my spirit goes to God who gave it. I commit myself into the hands of the Father. What about you? What about your destiny? What about you? Have you made peace with God so that you can say with the Lord Jesus when death knocks at your door, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Do you have that kind of assurance about your own eternal destiny? Do you? What about you? And you? And you? What about you? What about you? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you've made peace with God? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you have a relationship with the eternal Creator God of this universe because you have repented of your sins and you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and to cleanse you and to redeem you and to make you a child of God? Do you know that? Do you know that time is fleeting? Do you understand that we only have a short while in which to make preparation for eternity? The Bible talks about 70 years, or at most 80 years. And perhaps someone gets a few more than 80 years. Perhaps someone occasionally reaches 100 years of age, and yet even they are mortal. And the day comes when life in this world is no more, and we're in eternity somewhere. Do you understand that 100 years from this very moment that every one of us in this room will be in eternity somewhere? You'll either be in heaven with the Lord God Himself and with all the redeemed of the ages, or you'll be separated from God, cast from His presence into the lake of fire, the place called hell, with Satan and all the demons and all the people who turn their back on God. 100 years from today, everybody in this room will either be in heaven or hell. Those are the only options that the Bible gives us. I know it's not politically correct today to preach like this. And I know it's kind of rare today to hear somebody talk about the wrath of God and the judgment of God against sin and unrepentant sinners. And I know there are a few folk that don't want to listen to that. Do you understand? I'm not here to win friends. I just have to please an audience of one. His name is Jesus. My job is not to fill the pews. My job is to fill the pulpit. I'm not trying to offend anybody. If you don't want to believe in hell, that's up to you. But if you live out your days and you don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the day will come when you do believe in hell. I'm appealing to you today in the name of Jesus. Make preparation for eternity. I ask you in Jesus' name to run to Jesus, come to Jesus, embrace Jesus, trust in Jesus, follow Jesus, obey Jesus. He is the only way to heaven. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved, save His wonderful name. But in Jesus there is grace sufficient for any sinner anywhere who will come to Him. And you can come to Jesus today. You can go from this place today with the assurance that you have the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of God, which is eternal life. When I say to you today, I know that I'm going to heaven someday. I know that I have eternal life. I don't say that because I'm a pastor. I don't say that because I tithe or because I read my Bible. I say it because the Bible says, 1 John 5, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. I know that I have eternal life because when I was a fifth grade boy, I trusted in Jesus as my Savior, and He's kept me all these years. And He can do that for you. Do you know? Are you ready? Have you trusted Him? Do you have the assurance when you come to the end of the journey, if today was the last day of your life, could you say with Jesus, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Let's bow and pray together.